Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
That's right. You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, myself, Reginald Atitula. Appreciate you guys hanging out with us. Man, we're having a good one, although I'm looking out and I can no longer see NRG because it is indeed raining out there.
I don't see any workers on that roof.
Yeah, that's been a weird thing. we've gotten information that the roof should be fully fully repaired for by Sunday's game. Yeah. And I keep looking out as I look. I mean, thankfully for me, I have that direct vantage point towards NRG Stadium and, of course, John Lopez's beloved Astrodome. And, you know, right beyond where I'm looking at John, I can see that at all times. And I just keep looking at that hole like, I don't see nobody up there.
Where are the cranes?
Right? Like, I figured.
Where's the zip ties?
When does this get done?
Yeah. So, and it's wide open. I drive past it every day. I'm like, man.
So it really, truly, it's not open like they opened it. It's open as it's still not repaired.
Yeah.
Well, come on now.
Last time I seen it.
This has got to be like...
And why are you guys not repairing the roof right when I'm looking?
Got to get those fixer-upper guys here or one of those flip-it kind of guys. All right, here's the job. Need it by Friday.
Now, the real... Yeah, those shows are so fake.
I need it in 3 days.
Okay. Yeah,
we got 3 days to build a house.
Yes.
Well, let's see if we can get Bobby the Builder to be a Mr. Fix-It, because when it comes to Bobby Slowick and this Texans offense, there's definitely something that needs to be fixed. DJ Bienemy, who does great work, ESPN covering this Texas team, he tweeted this out yesterday. And, I mean, it's not like it's entirely novel, but it was something that jarred me into... a certain level of action that took up a good amount of last night and this morning.
You can say it,
for me.
Rabbit hole.
Yeah, definitely went in a rabbit hole. I'll read the tweet verbatim. Texans OC Bobby Slowick has his work cut out for him. Through 3 weeks, quarterback C.J. Stroud has the second most dropbacks on third and longs, right? 7-plus yards. It's a big reason why the Texans are 20th in third down conversion rate at 35%, and the Texans are averaging just 4.5 yards per play on first and second downs, which is 30th. Harder for C.J. Stroud to operate if he's facing longer third downs. Clearly, that's been something that's been a problem, especially when you add those third and longs and they turn into third and longers with penalties, right? Yeah. All those types of things. But I thought to myself, well, huh, why are you having so many third and longs? And, you know, maybe...
what's going on?
Maybe how do you fix it? But, of course, you know, hey, if I had a full answer to that, I imagine I wouldn't be sitting here. I'd be coaching somebody's football team, you know? But let's see if we can diagnose why exactly they had all these third and longs.
And, you know, even in this last game especially, they had 14 third downs. 13 of them were over third and
correct.
Third and seven or longer.
Correct. And so that's what I kind of started with, was I decided, as I was trying to find my methodology here, I'm just going to watch these first and second downs. Like, I just actually want to get my eyes on what's happening on these first and second downs. And so you can see I got the legal pad.
I'll put that up. Looks like Pender notes.
Yeah, yeah. I am no Sean Pendergast, I can tell you. I didn't fill all the margins and stuff, as he will. But I did utilize a couple of pages on the old legal pad looking at the first half of this last game. And I went and looked at all the first downs. And there's a lot. I mean, there's not a lot of third and shorts that, you know, resulted from these. But one of the things I thought to myself was, man, Bobby Slowick, you know, is he utilizing the tools that we typically think of? Or is there maybe a market inefficiency here in the way that they've been going about offense, that maybe if you just flip this switch, turn this knob, all of a sudden you have the easy answer to making this a little bit better? And those things are, especially if you listen to like the smart football folks, you need to be using pre-snap motion, man. And yeah, I mentioned Abigail, who put that on the YouTube earlier, that, you know, so one of the commentators was like, hey, you can get at the Vikings by using motion. It's like, why didn't Bobby Slowick do that? Well, I used an M on all the snaps that I recorded, all the first and second
downs. It's a lot of M's.
It's a lot of M's. Bobby Slowick is using a lot of pre-snap motion in the course of this game on first and second down, early downs. And you imagine that, hey, that should help you be productive. And unfortunately, that's not the case. Now, I do want to note that motions are, like, not all motions are created equal.
Yeah.
You know, like, some motions are kind of window dressing. Some motion gets something done. Some motion gets players going early, like your cheat motions and all those things. And I will say that some of the motions that I saw during the course of this game, and, of course, the Chicago game that I looked at earlier, was, I do wonder what the effect ultimately was, and I'm not necessarily smart enough to give you the full answer on what the effect actually is on the defense, but I can tell you flat out, ton of motion. In fact, Clearly more motion than not, and I could count maybe 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 plays in the first half of this game against the Vikings that they did not use motion compared to, I mean, probably a good 12, 13 plays on early downs where they did. So it's not just going to be, hey, they're going to go and use motion, and that'll fix this up. That'll give them more clear picture.
Well, let's talk about motion. I know you have more stuff.
Yeah.
And we want to get to it. But let's talk about what you just mentioned right there with motion. And you had me bringing out my pen and writing down notes.
It's infectious, isn't it?
It is infectious.
Now all of a sudden we got notes and we got things all up on the wall. We got red string looking like conspiracy theorists.
Yes, yes, exactly. Like that Always Sunny in Philadelphia meme that's out there with all
exactly.
the
with Charlie
strings
Day.
Connecting.
Yes,
strings connecting. So what I wrote down when you were talking about that, maybe it's easier to identify. It's not just window dressing, which a lot of times you know you do. They may be one and the same. But is it easier to identify from a defensive perspective the motion that he's doing? Because some are easy. Some I can identify just on the regular TV, not even the, you know, the All-22 or anything. Okay, they're going to do this or they got this going on. You know, maybe that's part of the question. That's part of the answer to why they're ending up in third and long. Or is, you know, by being easier to identify, is it easier to defend? Some motions, and I keep going back to that Chicago game, where it was very, very clear. He was in his bag. It was unique motion.
Yes.
It was two guys moving to one side of the field, one to the other, that kind of thing.
Forcing defenses to change defenders or how they're defending things, forcing them to shift how they're lining up. Yeah, that's absolutely.
So maybe he's not doing enough of that.
It felt like, and of course, I don't have the most trained eye. I am not Seth Payne. I am not Clint Sterner. I can't tell you all of that.
Yeah.
But what I can tell you is you could see the instances where the Vikings also were having to shift the way that they were having to adjust. Mm-hmm. They were having to call things, you know, and shift what they were doing to adjust to that pre-snap motion. That was there.
Yeah.
So there's that. Also, one thing that I think a lot of people talk about is, hey, man, the efficiency of running or of passing versus running, right? Mm-hmm. And especially on early downs, right? If you are throwing downs away by running the football, does that feel like that is a factor? Well, I went and looked at kind of first and second downs and whether they were, you know, passing or throwing or passing and throwing, the same thing, passing or running. On first and second down, week three, first down, they passed on 70% of those plays. Clearly, a pretty far disparity to passing the football. Second down, they were passing on 78% of plays. So they were coming out and they were throwing the football. And this is just the first half. This is not like, yo, the game is all the way out of here.
Yeah,
or like
far, where you have to.
Right? Week two, on first down, they were passing on 41%. So they were running more predominantly there. Similar number on second down. So you have two different weeks where you had two different approaches, and ultimately the same result was you had a lot of third and long.
Okay, don't those two things tie together? If it is easier for the defense to identify what you're getting into and then passing the ball 70% of the time, in other words, you're using these motions, you're using these looks, and they've identified them. The only thing I can figure, and we're just sort of chalking it out here, you know, what they've done and what you were looking at. The only thing I can figure is maybe he's just showing a lot of the same things that they've seen a million times on film.
Well, one thing I can tell you, one thing I can tell you, and this is one of the things that I'm starting to percolate on, and it's not even like it's novel, right? Mm-hmm. Hey, man, if you run the ball more effectively, you'll have more things available to you because their success rate when running the football was not good. First down, they had a successful run on 25% of their runs.
Mm-hmm.
Second down this week, they literally did not have a successful run on second down. Like, that was literally tied for the worst, which obviously it can't get any worse, right?
Yeah.
If you literally don't have a successful run. And a lot of those looked just basic outside domes, kind of a stretch play, right? It was a lot of similar. Now, one of the things that you saw week two that was a little different is, and I kind of amazed that I'm saying this because I was also the one that was like, hey, man, this is kind of wild that you're using this much. Some of those end arounds that were utilized definitely helped them get some successful run plays in week two. And so after being the guy that was like, hey, let's not get too dependent on that, I do wonder if, hey, that was necessary to kind of force defenses to work in different directions and make it get some opening things. But yeah, when it came to running the football better would absolutely help some of this. Another thing that I thought of, especially when you get to like some of the buzzwords that the smart football folks will use when they're talking about having better, more modern offense, play action.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You think, hey, are you utilizing play action? Are you freezing those linebackers, those second level defenders for a moment, giving yourself more opportunities to do things?
And what'd you find?
Buddy, in a week two, there was not very much play action at all with the Chicago Bears. In week three, there was a good amount of play action, right? There was a decent amount of play action utilized. It wasn't every time out, but I probably guess when it came to passing plays, maybe about half of the plays had some level of play action look involved here. And that makes it tough, right? Because that's another one of those things where you hope that you put some pause on the defenders. Now, it is worth noting that they did a decent job moving the football in the plays that they were able to get off. But the play action was there, and you still ended up with some third and longs, right?
So here's where I'm landing with this. So what you looked at really didn't come up with any big time trend in one direction.
And buddy, that made me feel bad when I put a couple hours work into it.
I think what we're landing on here, at least I am. So I've said this is a passing team. Well, they passed on 70% of the first and second down. They are a passing team. Motions. Well, the motion really didn't really be that successful. Hasn't been that successful
overall.
Well,
they had quick passing involved here too.
Okay. Well, the run game didn't have a lot of success on the run game, but no real trend in any of those things that would say, okay, that's why they're caught in third and longs. You know where I'm getting with all this? Offensive line.
Correct. That's where I stopped.
We're back to the offensive line.
That's where I stopped.
Yeah.
Because one of the things that you can see, there were some instances where you had a play dialed up that would have worked, and CJ Stroud is under pressure and moving. Now, of course, week three, you're talking about a Minnesota Vikings team that was very, very good at this, at pressuring on first and second down. Week two, at least on first down, they were only pressured on 18% of those first down snaps, right?
So they've tried motion, they've tried passing a lot, they've tried running a lot. They've tried play action.
You need to block it up.
It's the offensive line, people.
That's the spot.
It's the offensive line.
And this is where it gets tough because, yes, Bobby Slowick is still, it is his offense top to bottom, right? All the way, right? And so that the play calling is one thing. We got to figure out what the right protections are, and maybe just down to it, those guys have got to be motivated and they've got to make sure. And I'm not just talking about clearly the holdings, those types of things, you know, making plays harder and negating good plays. Clearly that is an issue. But even when that is not happening, they need to be up. There needs to be better play there.
It's clear.
You need to be able to figure out a way to run the football.
It's necessary. I think it's crystal clear. We just went through everything, and they've tried everything on first and second down and have not had the success, even in their wins. Outside of when Joe Mixon really started eating, but that was on first, second, third, and fourth down. I mean, you know, that was just a day that he had against a really bad run defense. But they've tried everything. Nothing has worked to get them in third and shorts.
And I won't go so far as saying everything, because again, like we are constantly amazed, or at least I am, at the amount of ingenuity that comes.
But you know what a tell is
football.
For me, and this is where it kind of resonated with me. They've had success on end of rounds. Well, the offensive line is not so much. I mean, they have a big job to do, don't get me wrong, but you're getting a guy into open space and it's deception, you know? It's the offensive line. I said it 1 hour ago. I said this is going
to
be the biggest game.
You beat me to my segment.
Yeah. No. But I'm saying this illustrates that because 1 hour ago I said this is going to be the most important game for this offensive line, maybe ever, but certainly this year. Because you just laid it out after looking at the games, nothing else is working.
Yeah, and I mean, 9-7-9, running play action only works with the real run game. It works better when you have a run game, but we've had enough time to look at this. And I say we, I mean like the people who have done the real digging on the analytics of this and trends of this have found that play action is still beneficial even if you don't have an incredible run game. And it's makes sense when you really think about it. Is as a linebacker, think about it. If you're watching a defense and or offense operate and you're reading and reacting, that momentary look of, hey, he might hand the football off, even if you don't think that he's going to be great when he gets that ball, your responsibility is still to make sure that you have that run game protected. And so you can freeze that defender for a split second. That creates something that gives you an advantage. Except for the Texans, it has not given them nearly the amount of advantage that they need in order to get them in third and short. Allow them to move the football without having to make big explosive plays, big 18-yard plays just to keep drives going.
And then last thing on this, because the 713 brought this up, and I was talking to you about it earlier, a lot of these plays are killed also because of the offensive line in pre-snap.
100%. Yeah. So this is another instance. We're early on in this season, but it's already, put up, shut up, Tom, when it comes to this offensive line. Do you want to be great? Because it starts in the trenches, right? The this game in its simplest is about blocking and tackling. Yeah. Getting that blocking done is absolutely necessary. There you go. It's the somebody said, are you going to keep bitching about last week or move on to next week? This is next week.
This is about
right?
this week.
If you do not put yourself in good situations, you might beat the Jaguars, but you're not going to put yourself in a. You're not going to have an opportunity to do good football things, and you're not going to have an opportunity to be a good football team. And that's what this team needs to be. Mm-hmm. You're in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's time to get our lunchtime confessions. But before we get there, 713-572-4610, that is the number to call. And caller number 7 will win a $50 gift card to Texas Star Grill Shops. And you will have an opportunity. You'll be entered at the possibility of winning a grill at the end of the season. So again, 713-572-4610. Call number 10 will win a $50 gift card to Texas Star Gift Shop. But coming up next, Lunchtime Confessions.